Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. This morning we continue our study in Cosmic One, an examination of the third category, which is client nation arrogance. And today we begin a study within that context of the postulates of divine integrity. This is a short doctrine, but it brings into focus those things that are necessary for a client nation to function and to endure. They come in two categories. The first are personal postulates. The second category, national postulates. Therefore, each of you is directly involved in the execution of each. Let's start this morning with the definition of the word advantage. Advantage means superiority of position or condition. And so as we go through this and the singular advantage is mentioned, then that will make reference to the believer who has advanced not only to the sophisticated spiritual life, but also to spiritual maturity. This is a superior position. It is a superior condition. It is a factor or circumstance of benefit to its possessor. You are benefited by the fact that you have wisdom. You're benefited by the fact that you have invisible historical impact, and you're benefited by the fact that you have the inherent power provided by the Word of God in your soul to sustain not only yourself in history, but contribute to the sustenance of your fellow man by the preservation of the client nation. Advantage also means benefit resulting from some course of action. And the course of action that you have taken is to grow in grace all the way to the high ground of spiritual maturity. It refers to any state, condition, or circumstance favorable to success or prosperity. And you have been successful as a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have phenomenal prosperity in the spiritual realm because of this advance. It is this kind of individual that is imperative for the survival of a client nation in any given moment of its history. We have had mature believers throughout our nation's history. They're the ones who founded the country. They're the ones who gave us our foundational documents. These were men who understood a multiplicity of languages. They understood not only English and wrote it and spoke it well with a broad vocabulary, which you would see if you would read the foundational documents. They debated on a high plane of intellect, and they came up with a phenomenal result and product, that being the Constitution of the United States. Nothing is perfect that man contrives, but the Constitution of the United States has produced the most wonderful environment for a free people in the history of the world. It is under assault, and presently it is almost a relic, only to be walked by at the Smithsonian and observed as something of times past. Yet, as these men constructed such a wonderful political environment, we have enjoyed for over 233 years the environment that has allowed freedom to take us to the heights of prosperity, literal prosperity in this country. The more freedom a person possesses, the more responsibility comes to them. But freedom oftentimes allows us to relax, to enjoy the benefits of a society that has produced many modern marvels, and we become relaxed in our prosperity. And we do not realize the sacrifice that so many have made in the past to create the structure for this environment. And so today we enjoy phenomenal treasures simply by the advancement of mankind's intellect and the distribution of these inventions and contrivances that we all enjoy. We sit here in a beautiful building. We have lights burning. There is air conditioning functioning. Water that runs. These are things taken for granted. These are things that will soon be taxed. These are things that we are going to look upon in the near future and thank God for them. And the reason that we are losing our prosperity and the things that we've come to enjoy and rely upon, the reason is there's been a loss of thought. And that loss of thought means that there's a shrinkage of these individuals over a course of time that made up the power source for the protection of this nation. We've called it the pivot. It is pivot power. Individuals and spiritual maturity that Jesus Christ protects and provides for on a daily basis, and their blessing by association to all others is evident in the freedoms we enjoy in this country. So if you're not in spiritual maturity, then you can tip your hat to an unknown believer who is. For he is the one, or she is the one, who's providing you the environment to continue to advance in your personal spiritual growth so that you might join them rapidly as you make the advance. So a state or condition or circumstance favorable to success and prosperity. Prosperity hinges on how many people are in spiritual maturity. True prosperity is in the soul. True happiness is in the soul. There is nothing this world can offer you that will bring you lasting happiness except that is developed as a thought process in your soul. Without that, there is no prosperity, there is no happiness, and in the end, there is no peace. Now, the postulates of divine integrity, therefore, define these personal postulates, which means standards, by the way. Number one, there are no advantages to the advantages without the advantage. The advantage is spiritual maturity possessed by members of the pivot. There are no advantages or benefits to the advantages, the escrow blessings, without the advantage. If you're not in spiritual maturity, then the benefits that you enjoy are due to blessing by association. Therefore, the escrow contract that was issued to you at salvation cannot be conveyed until you make the advance and acquire the advantage. There are no advantages to the advantages without this advantage. You're to be motivated and encouraged to move toward that objective, to seize the advantage so that at that point you will have the benefits associated with it, the advantages of the escrow. Point one, the advantage for the believer is the attainment of spiritual maturity. That is your advantage. Without the advantage, you must depend upon those who have possessed it. Secondly, the advantages are those escrow blessings that flow down the grace pipeline to the mature believer. As advantages flow down to those with the advantage, maximum blessings from the justice of God. That creates invisible historical impact that blesses others by association. Here is why there is freedom in any geographic area called a nation. I'll do my famous Rand McNally map. Okay, this is St. Louis here. This dot here, I say, is going to represent 20 people. Now, 2.5 million people in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area, I'm told. So let's take a wild guess. 20. And forget that. And you can forget this. I say down in here, it's going to be maybe 100 or so. What do you think? Forget that. And that. You're going to get some in this area. You will note that this is the old Confederacy. The Bible Belt. Going to be some scattered out through in here. No, not there. Scattered around. And I've just gotten a letter from somebody, so there's going to be at least maybe one up in here. What do you think of that? Now see, there's a grace pipeline shooting down to these people. They're getting blessings because they're associated with this power point called the pivot. They're in there, and God has to bless them. He has to protect them. He has to give them all kinds of blessings exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think. And these things flow on a daily basis. And for them to be blessed and have prosperity, great happiness, inner happiness, serving Christ, great wisdom, then they have to have things that are produced by an entire functional society. Widescreen HD TV. Food, clothing, shelter. Transportation. Friends. Countrymen. Get away from me. All of these things are just things that are material. They're the ones that have the spiritual prosperity. But in order for them to have phenomenal enjoyment of life, the great treasures that come down of grace pipeline that are primarily mental spill over into the society. And people invent things, they produce things, they make progress in certain areas. We have phenomenal medical system in this country that keep us healthy. We have phenomenal military that keep us safe and free. All of these ideas are traditional concepts. It's traditional concepts to which this grace flow is directed. Now, I'll drill past my visuals. When you have a dearth of these people scattered around the country, then the pipeline is measured to just a precious few. And then the rest of the country is made up of those who've rejected truth. Now, the country, therefore, as these individuals peel off, is losing the advantage, which is the pivot. There's a spinoff, and the pivot is shrinking, and the nation loses its advantage and therefore has no advantages. And as you go through time over several decades, where beginning almost in kindergarten or thereabouts, young people are led astray with what is truly to be understood and believed, and are taught concepts that do not find their establishment in absolutes, then they grow up assuming there are no absolutes. And you come into a church like this where all we talk about are absolutes. There's some things that are approved of by God. They don't vary. They've always been that way. And there's some things that are disapproved of by God that don't vary and have always been that way. And they're designed by God to fulfill His perfect plan so that He can bless those who follow Him. People do not like absolutes today. They want to orient just to some system, especially one that is as nefarious as the Word of God in their mind's eye. Nefarious, they think. There are no such things as absolutes. And I will not be bound by a system that decrees to me I must do certain things and not do others. I won't do that. I've been taught otherwise. And so when this mentality moves gradually but surely through a population, eventually you have a mindset that has been established that rejects the Word of God and therefore rejects the possibility of acquiring the advantage. The advantage for the believer is attainment of spiritual maturity. The advantages are those estral blessings that flow down the grace pipeline to a mature believer. Believers who are in reversionism have none of these advantages, although they have the option of rebound and doctrinal recovery in order to obtain them. So you can obtain these, but you must start from the very beginning. You must confess the sins that have distracted you, remembering that you have bought into a lot of human good and therefore have entered into evil in many categories. This has to be overwhelmed by Bible study. Human good is rejection of divine good. Human good is human viewpoint that has been brought forward into action. And evil is where you have taken human good ideas and brought them into a larger sphere of influence to where it affects other people. So when I say to you we have an evil government, that's the definition of evil. People with human viewpoint who have taken their ideas that are generated within the human mind and imposed them by law on others. That's evil. Individuals can be involved in evil quite obviously. You can impose your thoughts, your desires, your intents, your wishes on others from the source of human viewpoint, and you have become involved in evil. Now, the second personal postulate. If you have the advantage of spiritual maturity, being a member of the pivot, you have the advantages, great benefits. Great benefits that come down the grace pipeline to you personally. Point one, if you are a spiritually mature believer, then you have the advantages of escrow blessings. The spiritually mature believer has the advantage. The advantage is he has what it takes to receive escrow blessings, which are exceedingly abundantly beyond all he could ever ask or think. Those are the advantages. Secondly, if you are in reversionism, then you do not have the advantage, and therefore you have no advantages. Outside the pivot, you don't have an advantage. No advantage means no advantages. Three, there is potential for recovery, but potential minus capacity equals deprivation. Capacity is developed over time. I guess everyone has potential. You take baseball. They had the free agent draft this month. They drafted a bunch of guys. All the teams did. After you get past about the third round, it's like shooting ducks in a barrel. I mean, what difference does it make? Why do they draft like 100 people? Well, they have all these minor league teams, and somebody's got to stand out there at the various positions in order for the suspects to have to play and for the prospects to be able to participate in the ball game. So once you get done, you might have five legitimate prospects. But they can't play with each other, not on an 18-man deal, so you have to recruit all these other guys to stand out there and collect dust while they hone their skills. Well, that's pretty much what's going on in the country. That's what goes on in churches. Churches open their doors. In through the doors come those who claim to be Christians. Let's assume they are. Some are interested, some aren't. But those who are and make the advance provide the environment for those who want to proceed. In other words, have an interest but haven't arrived there. Have an interest in the concept, in the process, in the procedure. And therefore, show up with positive volition. The ones who hold the fort till they get there are those who have made the high ground, the pivot. Churches have pivots within them. They are those who've advanced. They're the ones who are holding the ground until the rest can join them. And then the suspects are those who have interest. Will you maintain your interest? Will you continue the advance, or will you peel off at some point? Something I say, don't like my personality, I call you slug slime, whatever it is that drives you out of here. You decide someone else is more exciting. Everybody is more exciting than I am. I'm not here for the excitement. But those are suspects. How many suspects are there in here? That'd be a person with interest, a person who knows they haven't acquired spiritual maturity but are on the road toward it. Suspects. You get into the sophisticated spiritual life, you're a prospect. and you get into spiritual maturity, you're pivot. Now take that concept out of a church and spread it out to an entire nation. And you've got a pivot out there made up of spiritually mature believers who are holding the fort till those who have interest get there. Problem is that number is shrinking in every category. There is potential for recovery, but potential minus capacity equals deprivation. If you don't have the capacity, capacity comes from interest. A ball player can have great natural talent, but he doesn't have the interest. What does that mean? A guy who's riding it out on the fact he has great natural athletic ability, but is not willing to do the things that will move him from a person of great natural athletic ability, which means he's a suspect, to get to the level of prospect so he can move forward to be a true everyday player. Does he know that he's got about three holes in his swing? Does he know that his footwork on the bases is wrong and can be improved? Does he have any idea how to track a fly ball? Does any left fielder on the Cardinals know how to track a fly ball? Or is it some meandering and fractious journey? If the reversionist seeks recovery, then he has renewed potential. If the reversionist seeks recovery, he has renewed potential. Potential plus capacity equals possession of the advantage and therefore the advantages. Potential plus capacity equals possession of the advantage. That's what is required. And you can insert here potential plus interest. Interest is what gets you there. You don't show up here because it's habitual. You've done it all your life, or you've done it a long time, or your parents bring you here. That's the only reason you're here. I sympathize. Some kids come to church because it's Sunday and their parents, in essence, hold a mythological gun to their heads, which is what parents are for. Well, how are you going to get the interest if you're not here? I might say something someday, a bell will ring, and lights will turn on, and you'll say, oh, that's what happened to me. At 30, somebody said something to me one day at one time in my life, and when the said got said, I said, oh. Doesn't take but just that one moment in time for you to finally get that concept in your mind and a click goes off and you are plugged in and you're ready to go. And unless you surround yourself with people that might say something like that, you're never going to get it. It's a free society. I understand that. But look at the advantages you have in a free society made possible by the pivot. So we have a constitution that is under constant assault, and in that constitution is freedom of speech. And I'm exercising that right now, and you're free exercising your right to gather here. Free exercising, that's what you're doing. Nobody told you to come here. Nobody told you you couldn't. That's freedom. So volition got most of you here. Potential plus capacity, which means interest, equals possession of the advantage. That's what gets you there. So finally, number three, without the advantage, there are no advantages. Without the advantage, being in the pivot, you have no advantages. You're sucking off everybody else, blessing by association. Be thankful for that. I mean, they're there to hold the fort until you can get there. It's not demeaning. Someone has to be there before the rest of us. There are many who have gone before, but they've held the fort till we can get there. So don't think you're being demeaned by this. If you have the interest, you too will get there. But you must remember the time it takes for you to get there is being provided by those who've already arrived. Now let's look at the national postulates. Number one. No nation can have the advantages, blessing by association, without the advantage, a pivot. No nation can have the advantages without the advantage. Point one, the advantage is a pivot of mature believers. Two, the advantages are the blessings by association enjoyed by a nation's general population due to the advantages imputed to mature believers. Write down that grace pipeline. Mature believers are receiving imputations every day right down the grace pipeline in this country. And because of the things that they are provided, other people benefit. You can go to these other never-to-be-developed countries. These people, I got pictures from Africa the other day from Moses' outfit. They're the general people there. Now look, I'm not demeaning them, but I'm telling you, it's not an advanced society. That's what I'm telling you. People sitting around, I notice this, that when they're cooking the meals, and I'm sure they're wonderful meals, don't get me wrong, but my wife uses a kitchen with appliances in it. And they're out in the yard, barefooted over a fire, trying to pull together a meal. Now I ask you ladies, how would you like just to try that out one day? Gather all your things together and go out in the backyard and build you a nice fire. Put you a pot on there and cook the day's meal. I'd like to have photographic proof. I'll put it on the board. If you move into those countries as Moses Onwabiko has done, and if you give a straight gospel and they respond, which many have, and if they can break free from millennia of erroneous thought that is part of the culture, the culture is based on thought that went decades, centuries, and millennia before. They break free from that through the Word of God, then what can they do? They can begin to make good decisions from a position of strength. The pipeline is open. They're going to be given blessings exceedingly abundantly if they pursue truth. And with that will come a knowledge of the laws of divine establishment. With that will come, obviously, all of the principles and doctrines of the Word of God. They'll begin to make decisions based on those concepts. And when they do, it is going to influence the way they govern themselves, the way they conduct themselves, the way that they think, the way that they live. There won't be never to be developed anymore. How long will that take? Several generations. But if they pass the knowledge down generation to generation, keep passing it down, evangelizing their children, getting them shaped up to think in the way God would have them think, and establish a society, a cultus based on that, then, in generations yet to come, Africa, which has more natural resources than any other continent in the world, can use that to elevate itself to a very prosperous society, nation by nation, individual by individual. Can they do it? Will they do it? I don't know. It's never happened in world history, not in sub-Saharan Africa. Will these people make the difference? They can. They're alive. They have believers. They have plus R. They have the pipeline. They have the Word. Can they do it? They sure have the opportunity. We've had the opportunity here. We were just a bunch of dumb white people that came over here, challenged the Indians. We had fights with them. Just a bunch of dumb white people from England. And a few from the continent came over here on boats. Who would do that? What doofus would get on a boat and ride week after week, month after month to come to nowhere? What's that about? I had relatives involved. Yet they got here. They carved out a piece of territory and sticks in the ground, called it a home. And what was it that they actually had with them that was far more important than anything else? They had the Word of God in their souls, and they believed God had led them here, and God would keep them here, and God would prosper them here. And therefore they stayed, they hung with it, and they did it. And here we are, enjoying the benefits of that initial pivot. These were people who had the courage of their convictions, and they had the honest belief that God would lead them, care for them, and prosper them. Many died, but obviously many lived. We need to think about these people who came before us when there was nothing here, and they did have to make their food over a pot, over a fire, outside in the yard, after they had shot it. If it was up to me to go find my food with a gun, and I had to kill it and then fix it and then cook it and get it up on the table, I'm telling you, I would starve to death. I am being blessed by association, by those people who know how to do that. My shopping, my hunting, my fishing is done at Shop and Save. No nation can have the advantages without the advantage. The advantages of pivotal mature believers, the advantages of the blessings by association enjoyed by a nation's general population due to the advantages imputed to mature believers. Secondly, a nation without the advantage loses the advantages. A nation without the advantage, the pivot, loses the advantages, blessings by association. When a pivot shrinks, thus losing its preserving power, the client nation is without the advantage. When the pivot shrinks, thus losing its preserving power, the client nation is without the advantage. Secondly, loss of pivot power results in the nation losing its advantages related to blessings by association. We're losing pivot power in this country. Brain drain. Spiritual brain drain. Therefore, we lose the advantages, our prosperity, related to their blessing by association. Thirdly, no nation can recover its advantages without the advantage of a pivot. You can't recover them once lost without the advantage of a pivot. Now, redevelopment of a pivot requires a national reawakening to the gospel and widespread interest in learning and applying the Word of God to life and circumstances. That is the recovery process. People being saved through the gospel, that would be a reawakening. We're sending these missionaries everywhere. They ought to be sent here. This nation needs the missionaries. And then once saved, widespread interest in learning and applying the Word of God to life and circumstances. Now, secondly, without this recovery, the client nation continues on a downward trend toward destruction. Without the recovery, which is desperately needed, we will continue on an historical downtrend toward destruction. The cycle of a civilization from bondage to freedom and back into bondage is illustrated by this anadiplosis. The author of this quotation is unknown, but attributed to several men, the most likely being Henning W. Prentice, Jr., in a speech delivered on March 18, 1943, in New York City. Here is his anadiplosis. Man begins his existence in bondage and rises from bondage through spiritual faith. Take our forefathers back to England under George III. They were, in essence, in many ways, under his bondage. And they rise from bondage through spiritual faith. That is what gave them the courage to come here and set up shop. From spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back to bondage. And finally, loss of both the advantage, meaning the pivot, and the advantages, blessings by association, eventuates in the removal of the nation from history under the five cycles of discipline. It has been suffered by many nations in the past, documented in Scripture for Israel on five different occasions. And throughout history in Gentile nations, it has also been observed and recorded. First of all, without the pivot and the blessings by association provided by it, the nation ceases to function as a client nation. A piece of real estate called by the same name, but it is no longer functional as a client nation. Secondly, loss of client nation status results in the country becoming vulnerable to predator nations and will eventually be taken out under the fifth cycle of discipline. And so the five cycles of discipline, the subject of Leviticus chapter 26, are summarized as follows. The first cycle, loss of health, decline of agricultural prosperity, terror, fear, death in combat, loss of personal freedoms due to negative volition toward Bible doctrine, verses 14 through 17. The second cycle, economic recession and depression, increased personal and individual discipline for continued negative volition in spite of the first warning, verses 18 through 20. The third cycle, violence and breakdown of law and order, severe restriction of travel and commerce, verses 21 through 22. The fourth cycle, military conquests and or foreign occupation, scarcity of food reduced to one-tenth of normal supply, separation of families, verses 23 through 26. The fifth cycle, destruction of the nation due to maximum rejection of biblical principles, verses 27 through 39. When we come back from our break, we'll note paragraph 3, as goes the pivot, so goes the client nation.